Hello, it's Mike Friday, your Dungeon Mom. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of Wonders and Blunders. Before we get into today's episode, there's a few people I would like to thank. Our wondrous patrons. Al White, GS Troop 969, Skylar Flowers, Ryland Command, and Chris Ice. Thank you so much. Dylan Pilgrim, Hudson Miles, Christopher Dunn, Ian Ford, Gulletice, and Matthew Smets. You the best. Mary Rain, Michael Pollard, Jason Campbell, Michelle White, and Noreen Elizabeth. You're making my world go round. Robert Andrews, David Forsey, Cheryl Lynn, Chelsea Dabb, and Shell Scott. We couldn't do it without you. If you'd like to join our Patreon and have your name read at the beginning of the episode, as well as have access to bonus recordings involving this wacky crew playing all sorts of other TTRPG systems, then head over to patreon.com/wonderandblunder. All of our rewards are available at every tier. So, you know, huck us a buck. Huck a buck, you know? Why didn't they call it that? They should have called it huck a buck. Anyway, no further notes for this platform that is paying us money. Instead, we'll get you back to today's episode, featuring a recap from your favorite Warforged, Rusty Trails. Take it away, Rusty.
Friends, this here's your friendly neighborhood Warforged gunslinger, Rusty Trails, here to catch you up on all that's been going on with our lovable crew as they explore the grand and magical city of Mox the Rain. Well, now, where do I start? Star, Ben, and Bree spent some time in the mysterious night market, made a deal with Cassandra Bronze, a lizard folk who is allegedly the head of a crime ring operating from her nightclub, the Bag of Rocks. After sealing the deal, our three little ne'er-do-wells partied the night away and ended up back at the mansion the next morning in all manner of mess, with young Ben adopting yet another puppy dog into the crew, Star bruised and blooded after getting into a drunken altercation with some wild wolverines, and Bree woke herself up in a confession booth, dressed like a cleric. Seems like Bree, our curious carnivorous lizard folk, in the throes of a drunken blackout. Well, seems she killed and ate a holy person. Found herself wearing their robes when she woke up, and in a series of misunderstandings, found herself having to give a sermon in their place to the God-fearing congregation at the Temple of Zilches, the god of wealth and charity. And she did a damn fine job, too. Mighty inspiring stuff. But Bree's mostly keeping that a secret from everyone, so you don't tell her you heard it from me. Now, while all that was going on, Rowan, our beloved soft-spoken furbolg, well, he was at Speak with the Dead ritual circle up in the mansion's attic. Finally got a message from his missing brother, Teak. Teak used some ghostly powers and set up a crossbow pointing out the window, which Rowan had Ben fire off the next morning, tracking it with magic. Teak's bolt let down a few rings where it settled on top of one of the control towers right outside the Quench. Now, the Quench is Mox the Rain's enormous prison, designed to fall into the heart of the volcano itself if anyone tries to escape. That's a bit of a harsh punishment to any law-abiding convicts unfortunate enough to find themselves inside during the breakout. Not to mention any of the poor guards who happen to be on shift, if that were to happen. Yep, that's mighty harsh, so suffice to say, the Quench ain't a building you'd like to find yourself in. Also, Valen's childhood nickname was Tadpole, so be sure to embarrass him with that if ever you do meet. That about catches us up to speed, with Star and Bree having retrieved their weapons back from the night market, and Ben, Valen, Karen, Rowan done investigating after tea. The party plans to reconvene at the local 24-hour breakfast diner, Danny's, to meet up with some of Kid Resistance, a small-time gang of youths. So, order yourself up a big stack of flapjacks, make sure to enjoy that bottomless coffee, and let's settle in for an average, everyday business brunch at Danny's. All right.
By my calculations, you guys follow that crossbow bolt down into the coffers and are now starting a bank heist. Correct?
That's pretty close.
Pretty
the
close.
The form is right, but
very
the
close.
Content
similar.
Is wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you just following icons around on the maps?
No. I was just triangulating and being like, okay, well, if it's close nearby and it's got a ricochet this way, here are the likelihoods of where it could fall.
Two of you falling towards Danny's, and four of you rising towards Danny's. I would say you're all able to meet up outside. Right next to Danny's, there is a tick tower. For those who haven't seen one yet, a tall watchtower, which outside has a single tick, the Neblin, a featureless bronze automaton, standing outside, watching as people pass by. And just beyond that tower is your favorite watering hole, Danny's. With a bunch of like yuppies kind of standing outside, the only people who aren't like on their way to work, waiting to get in.
Fucking yuppies.
At the doorway.
And this is in the trades?
In the trades, yeah.
So we're meeting up in front?
Yeah, I would say so. Close
okay, cool.
Up in the front there.
Yeah, all right. So as you see, as you see, like, Bree and Star approach, Star has, like, changed his clothes and is now wearing, like, an immaculate, like, beautiful white cloak over, like, his normal, you know, blue, like white shirt with a blue ascot and, like, just, like, beautiful pants. Like, they look like his old pants, but they're, like, little tiny gold,
embroidery?
Like, jewels, like, embroidery, like, outlining the stars on his pants.
Mm-hmm. I love that you are in blue and white and we are definitely matching now, mm-hmm. This means.
Oh, yeah.
You can see that Bree has, like, gotten back her wolf cloak. And she is also wearing a pair of welding goggles on her head. And, has her axe back slung over the other shoulder. Which seems to be, like, crackling around her fist a bit more with lightning.
Ooh. Well, you're looking quite fancy, Star.
Oh, this? Oh, no, it's nothing. Don't worry.
You got some shopping in.
Nothing.
you could say that. We also managed to get our weapons back. That's the most important thing.
Yeah,
well,
surprisingly,
done.
Nothing went missing.
Mm-hmm.
Was the same dwarf lady working?
Yeah. Everybody that was there, let me tell you. They're looking forward to seeing you too, Ben.
Cool.
And we found way in too.
So how did the bolt hunt go?
Oh,
we got some more information.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah,
I landed on a tower kind of like this one, part of the what was it called? The Quench?
The Quench, yes.
Yeah, some sort of prison.
It's a big crazy prison. Mm. And there was a crystal inside, and Rowan held Teak up to the crystal, and it pulled it, and then we got a warning from a tick. They know Rowan's face. They scan your face, and they know who you are.
Mm. So it's going to make getting back there a bit tricky for me, but I'll figure something out. But I mean, you don't suppose there's a crystal like that in this tower, too, do you?
That's a really interesting idea.
It's possible.
Hmm. So if you look on any of the maps, that tower is the same symbol everywhere.
Yeah.
So all of the towers that look like that are tick towers.
Okay.
That's with the red roof with the little
flags, yeah.
Oh, yep.
Cool. Is the crystal like the same? Do the crystals power the ticks or something?
No, it looks to be the same one that the Council of Azuth. You know, remember that book we saw a while ago, the old star? You know, I don't know if I showed you, but anyway, it's similar to their tuning crystals that they use to kind of keep scrying magic down.
Oh.
Yeah, but there was a real pull there, so I. And that's where the bolt landed, and I mean, I know there was a bit of movement when it fired, and a bunch of ricochets, and you know, a bit of hopeful thinking, but I can't help but feel like all of that leading to then having the pull with Teak, you know, that's got to be something, right? That's got to be something.
How long does this brunch lineup look?
It's not
always
cutting
to the chase there, man.
Because if there's time, I want to cast a spell.
Okay.
Yeah. So looking around, like, Rowan, why don't I take a look for you?
Oh, you're going to scry. I mean, that's not going to. Isn't that supposed to, you know, be bad news?
Well, it's not quite scrying. I'll admit I'm not 100% on the cutoff or what the rules are precisely, but
hey. is this like how you looked in the mountain when we went in?
Yes.
The...
Okay.
It's not Valen scrying. It's just eyeing.
Something like that. Yes. Valen puts both hands on the staff and like closes his eyes and just mutters under his breath, and then you see like this like silver eye appear on his forehead. And then sort of like sort of float out and take on like this crystalline shape and then shimmer and disappear. And I cast Arcane Eye.
Okay.
Oh god.
And I'll send it up to go look through the window in that tower.
Rowan's like looking around for people in red cloaks or something, like he's kind of braced.
Bria's poking Valen in the center of his forehead, being like, I did not know he had the eyeball in here.
I don't. Give me a moment.
It's magic, Bria. It's magic. Oh. You should know, right? You are all about magic now?
I think magic is good. I do not know how it works.
Same. That's same. Van kind of like looks down, deflated.
So it floats up towards the entrance. You can see this balcony has no tick on it. The tick is out front. Just kind of looking around. You have to, I think like the door to the balcony is closed, but there is a keyhole, which is an inch. Like it can fit through anything that's an inch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you would be able to fit through the keyhole.
Yeah. I send it in through the keyhole.
So inside you see that there are two deactivated ticks, and two guards sitting at a table. You see the same pool with a very similar crystal. Obviously these have been, I think like taking a look at it. Or no, you didn't see the first one.
I did not.
Okay, so you see, yeah, the crystal that Rowan described is floating above this pool. And looking at this is a, like, this is a divination pool.
Hmm. Can I investigate, like, the shape of the crystal to see whether it looks like a natural formation or whether it's been, like, chipped off of a larger chunk or...
Yeah, do an investigation.
24.
24, yeah. This has definitely been chipped off of something larger. This is not the form that it was originally created in. And with that, I think you can also see that there has been some rune work done to the crystal. And that it is linked to the pool. And its purpose is basically transmitting information to somewhere else. So this crystal watches what the pool sees and transmits that information.
Yeah, I think I would just then like maybe send the eye like down the stairs and see what the like inside of the tower has got going on.
So inside the tower, you can see that there are just sort of like a spiral staircase that leads down. There is a small armory that looks like it could fully outfit about four guards. There were two ticks upstairs, but you could also see that there was room for one more in those wall enclosures where they deactivate. And then down on the bottom floor, you have to squeeze through another keyhole to go down through a trapdoor in the ceiling that separates this bottom room from the top. Bottom room has three cells in it, and you can actually see that there is someone in one of the cells playing harmonica and at the same time banging a tin cup on the bars.
That's impressive.
Coordination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have like nine arms, so they've got... Oh.
It's some sort of species I haven't seen before.
Yeah. Is this the same universe as the Mortal Kombat games?
Yeah.
It is now. Well, this is actually, you know, Shang Tsung rules Outworld. Now that is, if we're living in, you know, it's a multiple dimension thing. So,
oh yes,
it can be every universe. You know, if Outland were to invade Mox Thrain, who's to say?
Who's to say who the champions would be?
Who the champions would be? Of
I
course.
Think we know.
Yeah. Okay. I think I will just bring the eye back to us. I've got it up for an hour, so it might be useful during this meeting.
Okay, and you can just move your vision back and forth from it?
Yeah, it's one of the only ones that doesn't say anything about me being, like, blind and deaf while doing it. I just,
right.
like, receive
visual
information.
Oh, you mentally receive visual information. So yeah, you're not, like, seeing through it. You're just being transmitted the information.
Additional information.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, this is a fourth level spell, right? So that's pretty up there.
That sounds potentially distracting, though.
Definitely.
Yeah, looking at yourself in third person.
Yeah.
You go Grand Theft Auto style, you're just like running blockier.
Yeah, you definitely have to like nudge me forward in the line a couple times as the line moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you, by the time this is done, I think have moved up the queue, and there is a Danny's employee standing at a little table, sort of looking at a reservation book, and then looks up at you and says, "Hello, welcome to Danny's. Do you have a reservation?"
Valen kind of looks at the others.
Oh my.
We are here for a meeting?
Oh. And her expression darkens. Right this way.
Oh, okay.
And then leads you inside.
Well, there you go. That's a lesson we don't have to learn. That's great.
So making your way inside. Just
going
to
leave the eye outside and have it doing like little laps around the building outside.
Okay, cool. And it lasts an hour?
Yeah.
Okay. So making your way inside, you can see just like before all the booths, the place is packed. People just like talking, eating away, just like stacks of pancakes sort of floating their way over to tables as these like cheery servers who are dead in the eyes making their way from person to person pouring coffee. This server rounds the corner and she points over to a table where you can see five kids in their cloaks that are the dark cloaks with like the neon designs down the back of them. You see a young orc wearing like hexagonal glasses with little tusks that have been filed off at the top, and one of them is pierced with a gold ring. Those of you who were in the attic see Patch and Chips. Patch was a young elf, and Chips was a green tiefling with little nub horns. And then you see sitting in the corner is a half-elf who just has this like these sleepy, happy eyes and is kind of watching you come over and just like a very calm smile on his face. And then you see sitting at the top of the table is somebody who's under their hood. You can see just the blank, featureless face of a tick. But they clearly have humanoid features, but appear to be wearing a tick's face as a mask, which with some sloppy spray paint just has a very crude little happy face painted in the center of it.
Cool.
And he's sitting with his arms crossed, looking at you as you start to make your way over.
Hello, Chips. Hello, Patch.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for coming to the meeting. And the server is like, can I refill your waters? And all of them are like, yes. And that's like all they have at the table. They've been crowding this huge table.
I think we'd all like some food. Could we get one of everything, please?
And she's like, yep. And looks over at the at like the kitchen. So like in the center of the room is where the kitchen is. It's kind of an open kitchen behind a bar, and you can see just like pancakes flying around. All these things being cooked as these very like acrobatic chefs are just like flipping around the kitchen trying to fill out all of these orders at the same time.
Looks like overcooked.
It looks like overcooked, yeah. Like the all the little like butcher's blocks and stuff keep lifting up in the air and then like moving to other parts of the kitchen as like people are summoning them back and forth.
Yeah, there's just a dead face sous chef just cutting on the block as it moves.
Yeah.
Oh, and could you put like maybe a whole pot of coffee for me? Like not one of those little mugs. Just leave me a whole urn if you can.
Yes, of course. Okay, I'll be back with one of everything. And then she has, like, a stack of menus, which you can see are, like, 72 pages long each in her hands, but she doesn't lay them down, just turns around.
Yeah. Could you rush that coffee, though? You know, bring that first.
Long gone.
Oh, well, that's it. All right.
Do you think she's just going to bring us one pancake?
No.
Oh, because one of everything. Right, yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, so the person at the end with the tick mask on just says, please sit. We have much to discuss. So you're interested in a partnership with Kid Resistance, is that right? You've seem to have taken over our HQ in the ashes. And like, yes. With that laugh, the calm-faced one also kind of giggles.
Hey, this guy. Like, Stardust points at the one who giggles. Hey.
We have taken up residence in the ashes, and we, as discussed with Patch and Chips, were willing to reach some sort of agreement.
Hmm.
We earned that house by solving a murder in a pocket dimension, in a wizard's tower.
Well, nobody talked to us about it, so Terry didn't run it by me, so as far as I know, you have zero claim to that place.
Well, we have the deed, so that's not going to fly.
Paper.
And we are much bigger than you.
Well, that might be, but we're quick and wily, and Connor over there, he'll cut you to ribbons, and the sleepy face guy just kind of waves.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty quick and wily myself. You know?
Yeah, not to mention you're going to have to deal with all the clubbers when they close the net on that sting, so, you know, that's going to be a problem for you, too.
What sting?
Who said anything about sting? What's that story? I think we were negotiating about whose house that was. I think that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, well, we want to keep using the place.
What sting? Like,
and I'll give you a wink and just something I may have gotten wind of.
And right. Perhaps that might be one of the benefits you could gain through our friendship. But we are interested in what benefits we could gain were we to perhaps continue working with you.
So yeah,
and this is one of those scenes where it closes in on everybody's eyes and it goes around the whole table.
Yeah, and it's like very slowly making its way around and then is quickly interrupted as just like piles of food and coffee just start sliding across the table in front of everyone to the point that you have to like move stacks of pancakes to see each other on the other side again.
Did we do that thing where everyone's eyes are really intense and stuff, and then it cuts to the sleepy half-elf, and his eyes are just delighted, and there's twinkles and stars?
Dig in. If you can't finish whatever's in front of you, I'm sure Bree will be able to help out.
Yes, though I am surprisingly full this morning. And Bree stares off a little bit into the middle distance between shaking her head and then just digging into some pancakes.
Okay, well that's maybe the first time today I've gotten genuinely nervous.
Yeah, Ben is looking off where Bree was looking and then snaps his head back and looks.
So, you guys aren't narcs. You're not going to sting us? It's like kind of flicking this little happy face towards Rowan.
Hey.
No, we're
what?
Cool.
What is a narc?
someone who tattles, someone who goes and talks to the ticks and tells them what we're up to. You know, we're wanted, every single one of us.
Yes, we're well aware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you should also be aware that nothing happens in this city without Kid Resistance knowing about it.
Hmm. There you go. Except
that sounds
that little...
like a skill.
Although, yes, I'm a bit skeptical of how effective your information networks are. If we were able to find out in one day about a potential sting on your operation that you have not heard anything about.
I'm going to need something off of this.
All right.
So I think one of you is going to have to roll deception.
Ooh.
It's not deception.
Yeah, I heard that when we were in...
We both heard about this.
Where did you
where
hear
were
about
we?
This?
Which bar was that?
Kefren told us.
Oh,
no, we overheard it.
Kefren told us...
In the Skewered Noble.
In the Skewered Noble. Yeah, I overheard it when I was looking for information.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You were looking for information on the kids, and some guy said...
Sorry.
Okay, then persuasion.
Okay.
Will I give Rowan advantage?
Oh, yes, I don't think that's necessary. But, I mean, yeah, I'll definitely take it. Yeah, okay, so that's great.
83.
So 17 plus 5 is 22.
Okay. So the orc pipes up, and she says, well, let's hear out what they have to say. What are the details of this sting? Where are they going to hit us?
No. That's not how this works.
What?
You don't get something for nothing.
What do you want?
What do we want?
I would love to know, some sneaky ways to get around. Or, where the good spots are for overhearing things.
Yeah, I think essentially what we're looking for is the same thing you're looking for, which is to say a real partnership.
I'm just looking for the syrup. Thank you.
Valen, like, mage hands it over to you.
Yeah. It's not that complicated, okay? You simply give us information, and we can dribble some information back to you. Also, you don't get to come into our house uninvited.
Okay, counteroffer. We get to come into the house whenever you want. Whenever we want, but...
Yeah, whenever we want. Perfect.
Not whenever we want.
Whenever we want.
We get to come in. We won't bust up your windows.
Good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll teach you how to use the circle. Questions that you want answered, we can get you in with the dead of the city. That's where we get all our information, and you can use it just as much as we do.
Rowan is just looking at him now. He's not saying anything. He's just sizing him up.
I think at this point, Kara will transform into a centipede.
Oh, God.
Chips and Patch, like, freak out.
Not at the table. We talk about this.
Please warn us. Warn us before you do it.
And we'll crawl up on Rowan's blueberry bush and in order to say into Rowan's head using, like, the telepathic...
Did you... could you say with confidence that you would be able to use the circle again?
And then out loud, while I'm like locked eyes with that guy. No, I don't think with confidence. I don't think so. But I'm like smiling and I'm like looking at him.
And Mike, I'm trying to remember what Valen got from that circle the first time Valen looked at it. Does that look like something within the realm of possibility to figure out how to use it, or is it...
Yes, I think you could figure out how to use it. I think with your... You know enough about rituals that I think you'd be able to figure it out. This isn't your, like, preferred school.
No.
But I think you would be able to figure it out, given some time.
Well, that just sounds like you're offering to let us use something in our home.
Well, I mean, good luck.
Luck won't be necessary.
Yeah, all right. Well, they won't talk to just anybody, so...
Valen, again, in his head.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to want to have that information about the circle sooner rather than later.
I think Valen will cast message back to the centipede. Again, just kind of like eyeing down the one I was chatting to.
Yeah, off to the sides, like, Patch and Chips are both just, like, wide-eyed, terrified, staring at the centipede.
But Kara would hear, well, give me a night or two, and I'll have it figured out.
The centipede just clicks her pincers at you.
I think Ben is, like, shoveling pancakes into his mouth, and he looks at Patch and Chips, and he's like, you get used to her doing that while you're eating.
And they're like, yeah, they kind of push away a few of the pancakes. Patch is like, I look forward to that.
The centipede is the worst one.
The centipede is the worst one. Are you going to eat that? And Star, like, tosses his dagger over and spikes a bacon on one of their plates and then summons it back to his hand and eats it off of it.
And you can see, like, they can tell kind of that this isn't going their way. All of them are just kind of looking around, except for the one with the tick mask, who is unreadable.
Yeah.
Well, how about another counter offer where you guys let us know when you're coming by. You guys come by, and then you can just share what you learn from the circle, and we learn what we pick up. And maybe just something as simple as that.
Also, no, you have lost your downstairs privileges. No downstairs privileges. If you come, you only go upstairs.
And the one in the tick mask nods and says, okay, I'm not telling you everything that we know.
Well, we haven't told you everything we know.
There you go.
Well, I don't care what you know, because you don't know
Jack.
We
don't care what you know.
Well, then you shouldn't need to know.
Benjamin.
Ben has, like, been leaning forward over the table, closer and closer. And then he, like starts when you say, and he sits back down.
Do I notice, I'm going to do a perception check of the room and see if there's anybody in the room that I would identify as listening in on what we're doing, like watching and paying a bit too much attention to these kids.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. I rolled a 19, so that's going to be super high.
Okay.
I'm on fire today.
Is that
above 30?
No, it's 30. It's 30.
19
plus 11, baby.
Booth, like, right behind you, that someone has moved a chair into, like, a strange place on that booth, and they are... out of the corner of their eye, watching everything that's happening. It is a dwarf, a female dwarf who is wearing like a trench coat.
Okay.
And like a human-sized trench coat.
Yeah. No, it's a very well-fitting trench coat. A wide-brimmed fedora that is like tipped down over the face, like obscuring most of them. Like how inconspicuous they are is how they stick out from the crowd.
Right.
And yeah, pointedly watching you, and you can see as people are speaking, with an over 30, you can see that her mouth is moving. She's reading lips. Okay. And listening in on the conversation.
So I take that in as I like pretend to stretch and sort of exasperatedly like roll my eyes and turn my head, and I take all that in. And then I'm going to say, oh, well, now that's the thing. You know, you're going to want to know what I know. And we do, in fact, want to know what you know. And I know you think I'm bluffing, and I know you think that we're just trying to get a deal out of you. But the thing is I'm real good at picking up information. For instance, right now, I can hear your heartbeat, and I can tell that you're a little nervous. And that's okay. You know, you're a kid, and we're a bunch of grown-ups, and we're all pretty imposing. And also, you probably had, you know, not much to eat in the last little while, so you got that weird kind of jittery feeling in your gut anyway. And I also know that that dwarf over there has been reading lips and mimicking back everything that we've been saying at this table. And it's little things like that that I'm real good at picking up on. So maybe if we can set up a partnership, I can share that information with you directly, and then you can kind of share what you're picking up from the dead of the city. And then together we can be a real good, you know, well, I keep saying partnership, but that's what it is. But ideally, this will grow into a friendship, but now we're getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we?
All of them turn past you and look at the dwarf at the same time, who, like, very promptly slams down a few coins on the table, stands up, and walks out the front door. They then look back to you, Rowan, and the one in the mask says, "Let me see your hands, all of you."
Ben looks at... Well, I think Ben... While
I'm not going to show you my hands. Why am I going to show you my hands? No.
Yeah, while Rowan was talking, I think Ben was... Can you smugly eat pancakes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure yeah. Ben can manage it. Yes.
Ben can. Yeah. Yeah, he starts to put down his cutlery, and then he looks at Star. When Star says no, he picks his cutlery back up.
I start saying thump in tune with his heartbeat.
And Valen's going to send the eye to follow that dwarf.
Okay. But no one is going to show him hands?
No, I just think, go thump, thump. Thump, thump.
I think
thump, thump.
Bree is like eating pancakes off of her claws and just kind of like turns them over, and they're like covered in syrup and all sorts of fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picture Valen sitting like most of this time he's been sitting with his like hands like steepled in front of him.
If Bree holds out a hand, then he reaches out and just like kind of holds the claw, and you see over the tick face your face appears in an illusion, and then disappears, and kind of like looking around to see if like holding out his hand to each one of you.
Well, I mean, you can mimic my face, but you are like pint-sized compared to me.
What is the purpose of that? Says the centipede into his head.
Oh.
I'm seeing if you're registered.
With what? Valen will put his hand out.
And he grabs your hand, and your face appears briefly in a blue illusion and then disappears. And he just keeps looking to the rest of you.
Registered with what?
With the ticks, with the city.
And Rowan will sigh at that and be like, well, I guess this might as well come out. And I'll put my hand up.
And he grabs your hand, and your face appears in red.
Yeah.
And there's like a small beep inside the mask. And he goes, nice. And then it disappears, and he holds it out to everyone else.
Yeah, Star holds his hand out.
Yeah, your face comes up blue.
Kara the centipede will hold out her little creeper.
Oh, yeah, gosh. And he does not seem too affected by it, and actually okay. just, like, puts his finger on, like, if you hold up, like, one peed, mm-hmm. he, yeah, just kind of pokes the edge of it. And your face, not the centipede's face, shows up on the front and in blue.
Interesting.
Yeah. Ben holds out his hand.
His talent. And same for you. You come up in blue. And he says, ah, you're squeaky clean. So you're either deep, deep cover, or you're cool. I mean, he's cool. And pointing at Rowan.
Now he smugly drinks his coffee.
At least one misdemeanor. Okay. I mean, what is it that you want to know? From I mean, we'll check in. How do you want us to let you know when we're going to come by?
Yeah, just leave a note on the door. That's how everyone else does it. This stupid city.
Well, wouldn't they already be there?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I suppose, and I'm looking at you guys, you could probably just knock.
What if we establish some sort of schedule?
He says, if that's what it's going to take.
Be nice for it to be predictable.
Okay, and we let you in on what we're snooping about. We put in a good word with everyone who comes by to visit the circle, and you let us know anything they tell you.
Who else comes to visit the circle?
Do you mean the dead people?
The dead people.
Oh, yes.
We've spent a long time getting a relationship with them, so with our word, you'll be able to get some good information out of them. If not, they're just going to mess with you.
Okay. Where do they come from? Are they just people who are from the city, died in the ashes, or do they come from, like, the ethereal plane from all over?
Mostly people from the ashes, but we're located right above the City of the Dead in the jungle, so some
they
of
tell
them
you
drift up from there.
Do they tell you their names?
If you ask.
And, like, Ben is kind of trying to not look at Rowan. He just kind of glances at Rowan a little bit and then just kind of nods his head a little bit and starts cutting up some pancakes. But it's a lot. He's eating them a lot slower. It's starting. The pancake regret is setting in as his blood begins to thicken.
Yeah. I think setting is right.
Yeah.
You are saying dead people in ashes can come back and say what killed them?
Yeah. I mean, if someone's looking for vengeance, then they might give us a contract for vengeance. We don't deal with that kind of thing. We just small favors, mischief and such.
And I guess Rowan at least would be able to pick up, like, Bree has also started eating a little bit more slower and cautiously.
Yeah. Rowan looks at you and just has a worried look on his face.
Mm-hmm. I think Kara will go back to her chair and turn back into Karen. Tuck in real good.
So are we agreed then?
So we set up a schedule. You guys follow that. And then you share what you pick up, and then we share what we've picked up, and if there's overlap, then that works out great. I mean, it seems like a working partnership, and I'm looking at you guys with, like, my shoulders kind of up.
You don't seem very adept at subterfuge. You wear a uniform while cavorting around the city. How have you eluded apprehension until now?
Well, that's what I said. We're quick. We're fast. They can't keep up with us. And we don't follow things like schedules. We just do what we want when we want, and so there's no way for them to keep up with us.
Now, are they going to come after us if they see you visiting our home on a regular basis?
You don't have to worry about that kind of thing in the ashes. There's only one tower. The ticks there barely work. Not many eyes up there for us.
You're right next to the night market anyway. I get the feeling that not many coppers at all come through our neighborhood.
Yeah, and I mean, we're already connected anyway. I mean, the waiter here knew about the meeting, and then that dwarf over there. So, I mean, the connection's already made.
And yeah, meanwhile, what am I seeing?
Yeah, so you are seeing the dwarf making their way out through the crowd. They, like, stop and pick up, like, an apple from a stand. And they are writing in a book. And as you're like zooming towards the book to see it, you do see that they pass by. They kind of stop and look up. And when you see what they're looking at, there are four ticks and a bunch of guards and two drow in similar robes to the dwarf who you saw escorting somebody out of the Skewered Noble. And they are all walking purposely towards Danny's.
It might be time for all of us to leave. It seems the authorities are on their way.
The kids kind of look up at that, and they all look towards the guy in the mask, and he holds out his hand. He says, "Well, okay, we'll be seeing you soon," and reaches out his hand to you, Valen, to shake.
Yeah, I shake it.
Rufus.
Bless you.
It's my name. If you're looking for me again, Rufus.
Yes, sorry. Valen.
Nice. I'll get the other ones when we're not in a bunch of danger, but you don't have to worry too much. The ticks won't be able to pick us up with these, and he holds up a necklace, which has their symbol on it, the crowns with an X through them. Just as he says that, Valen, you see outside one of the people in the robes takes out this little sort of like gyroscope looking device and lays it on the ground and presses a button, and a shockwave shoots out of it and passes like all the way through, like rattling all the dishes, knocking over a bunch of like stacks of pancakes, and anyone who's holding like magic items. So I think, Star, this would affect you right away. Your magic items are deactivated.
Oh.
So
like Star's really nice clothing disappears.
Does it disappear or does it go kind of limp?
No, it disappears, and you just see him sitting there wearing nothing except for studded leather armor, and he's like, okay, "Oh well, this is awkward." Please, nobody look down.
What happens to my axe?
You feel like your connection to it kind of gets severed, and it gets really, really heavy again.
Okay, yeah. Because you just hear it like thunk as he like falls backwards, and you're like. What
about my my sigil, my holy symbol?
It is like all magical effects are right. Suppressed. And the all those little necklaces that they are holding up go dim, and he's like, "Ah, shit!" And from outside, you hear one of the drow to the members of Kid Resistance and anyone who may be harboring them inside of this Danny's. Step out now and give yourselves up, and you will receive a lighter punishment. And I think we might end there.
Sway, we gotta have some kind of one-liner backed, right?
Like, is there a back door?
Yeah, I was is there a back door?
Please.
Check, please. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Can we get just that from everyone at once?
All six of us at the same time.
Yeah.
Three, two, one.
Check please.
Perfect.
Wait, I didn't do Ben's voice. We gotta have another. We gotta take.
Okay,
no. It was just another guy.
No, it's true. It's someone else. Was
it's a coincidence.
On his way out.
It's a family of four.
Yeah. We can stick those up in editing. Thank you for listening to another episode of Wonders and Blunders. Ben was played by Mitchell Bradbury. Bree was played by Kieran Dyke. Kara was played by Kate Clark. Rowan was played by Andy Woolridge. Star was played by Robert. And Valen was played by Evan Walsh.
The world of Vadoon was created by your dungeon mom, Mike Fardy, and exists in the D&D 5e universe published by Wizards of the Coast. Episodes of Wonders and Blunders are edited by TV's Adam Clark. Thank you, Adam. We're an independent podcast supported by you, the listener, but we may take on the occasional ad to help cover our operating costs. If you'd like to support the show directly and monetarily, and get access to ad-free episodes and bonus content, head over to patreon.com/wonderandblunder. If you'd like to support the show, but can't spare the cash, that's totally fine. Follow us on social media at Wonder and Blunder, and be sure to rate the show 5 stars on your podcatcher of choice. Thank you for following us on this fantastic journey, and as always, keep being the best. We love you very much, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.